Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, more than to share, as usually I always have a request, and more than sharing, but I was thinking days ago about what the Lord has been doing in Muscota. But then I started reading this book, The Ark of the Testimony, and you know what? Probably many of you already this book many, many years ago, and this is an old book for you. But you know what? This is present for me. And it's not only present for me, it's just I feel like this was the this is the situation in my hometown, what Floyd Police was talking here about. Well, the Lord really spoke to me through this book, through Floyd, and and then he mentioned Anna, in the Samuel's mother, and then Hannah has a desire, and the desire was for a son, and let me see my my notes. The desire was for a son, and she has a husband that loves her, and she knows that she is loved by the husband. And then he gives a double portion to her, and then he says to her, "Do I not bear for you than 10 sons?" But she wasn't happy with it. She has a desire of something more. She has a desire that the Lord was putting in her heart, and it was not only for a good husband or for a double portion or for the things that he says. She wants something more. And this is what I feel like we need in Muscota. We need something more. Just we have a pastor, but we have a pastor, and it's fine to have a pastor. But we need really the head of the church, that is Jesus. And then we have the members of the congregation. But we need the brothers and sisters that we have a relationship, a communion with them and communion with the Lord, not only members of the congregation. And then we have the gospel, but we need to read the gospel more than to be a book that we need to read every single book, every single week. We need to look for the Lord in the book. And then sometimes we don't go into more into the deepest way. And that is the thing that was in Hannah's heart, to go more deeper, more what the Lord wants for her, and what is the purpose of her life, what is the purpose that the Lord has for her life. And this is what I am looking for, what is the purpose that the Lord has for our congregation in Muscota. Is something more, just having the meetings. So today they are having baptisms. Mm-hmm. Four of them are getting baptized. Yeah. Wow. And then, but it's something more than knowledge, more than meetings that we just go in and out and not getting anything. And probably this is my my prayer request. Not to be only happy and content with the things that we have right now. As Penilla was the name of the other wife, or which is the name? Penina? Okay. She was happy because she has many kids. But Anna, yes, the Lord gave Samuel to her, but anyway, she brings Samuel to the Lord. And then that we can bring something more to the Lord, that the desire for Muscota goes more than just having a congregation in Muscota, something that goes far more than to have a congregation and to have more people coming to the congregations, that the Lord really get his purpose in Mascotam. He is the owner. He is the one that, and Jesus Christ says that the las puertas del Hades no prevalecerán sobre ella. How do you say that, Ernie? The doors is not going to prevail against the church. Yeah, well, this is our need today. And probably tomorrow I'm coming again with another need, but because it's going to be something that, okay, we need this today. We need what the Lord wants for us. But this is a living, the church is a living organism. And pray we tomorrow I'm coming again to say, oh, now we need this. But I just want to say thank you very much for all your prayers and for being with us for so many years and being so faithful to the Lord, praying for me and for this town. This town was in darkness. We are the first generations that that the Lord put in our hearts to start coming being over there and start sharing the gospel. And it's the responsibility of the to be the first generation, but not only to be the first generation. What we are going to pass to the second generation? Then what Anna has was a prevailing prayer. She really poured her heart out before the Lord, and pray that is what I need and we need, just to pour our heart before the Lord for this town, and not only for this town, for the need in the world too. Well, this is my prayer request, and thank you very much again for all your prayers and all the years that you've been praying alone for this town, Mascota. Thank you. And now we are so behind. Many people already probably they have this book. They don't know even or do not remember about this book. But you know what? This is great. It's a really very good book. And yeah, thank you. How did you do this?
Let's just have a short word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning, first of all, that we can be gathered together around your Son. And Lord, we thank you for our sister Luce, for her love for your people, and for what you're doing there in Mascota. And we know, Lord, that you have brought her into our presence and into our lives for the purpose of praying for them and coming alongside them in ways that, whatever way we can, Lord. And we're asking you to continue to work with our brothers and sisters there in Mexico to raise up a testimony to change lives. And first and foremost, Lord, for the name of your Lord Jesus to be glorified. Lord, I ask you to do something with these words, Lord, that you put in my heart this morning, that you would speak to us. Whatever is from you, Lord, let it impact our hearts. If it's not from you, Lord, do away with it. And Lord, we thank you again for the power of your word. In Jesus' name. Well, the best thing about this morning is it should be nice and short. So, part of this comes out of what I didn't get to finish with on Tuesday night in our study in Hebrews. And it's been a blessing there doing studying this book. And but more importantly than that, over the last several months, the Lord has shown me the blessedness of studying his word and the power it brings in our lives to effect change, to correct and direct. And I want to talk just a short time here about Peter. What we were about to get to in Hebrews, we were in the middle of chapter 10, and Andrew Murray calls it the centerpiece of the book of Hebrews, where we're talking about how we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, and about the power of his life to make a change, and the fact that the spiritual life of the Jews was in the outer court, and for many Christians, it's in the outer court. But the change that Jesus has effected is for us to be and live in the presence of God. And after Paul, or whoever you think wrote the book of Hebrews, after he discusses this in a few short verses that are very poignant, what does he tell us to do? Do not forsake the assembling together. We pointed at it this morning, because that's where the life of the Christian is lived out. You can't go off and be isolated, as Paul was talking about this morning in the study. The life of the Christian is among the brothers and sisters. When we go and look at the Lord's table and those verses there, the Lord's Supper, there's a lesson he does in the middle of that. And he girds himself and takes a towel and gets down and washes the disciples' feet. And then we know Peter, you know. I'd rather be like John, the guy that would be able to lay on Jesus' breast. But I find myself many times more like Peter, always putting my foot in my mouth. And there's Peter going, "Oh no, no Lord, not you. I should be washing your feet." And the Lord says, "No, this is what needs to be done. I'm showing you something here." "Well, then wash all of me." "No, you just need to have your feet washed, because I'm showing you something." And after he demonstrates that servanthood, he tells them, "Now, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to be crucified." And again, there's Peter. "No, no, no, Lord. No, no, no." And what does the Lord say before a cock crows three times? "For a cock crows, you will deny me three times." And I always think of that song, that verse in that song. "'Tis that look that melted Peter." You know? What do you think that look was? It wasn't condemning. He looked at Peter, and Peter knew who the Lord was, and he knew the Lord understood him. But he also knew his weakness. So we go through the story of Jesus and his crucifixion and his resurrection. I mean, he's already shown himself to the disciples. And then we have that little story with Peter again. "Now what do we do?" "I'm going fishing." After all that Peter's seen, "I'm going fishing." I'm going back to my old way. And then again, we have this wonderful example of the Lord. I'll read these verses. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Okay? Pay attention. He manifested himself in this way. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will also go with you." They went out and got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. When the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was him. Therefore, Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll have a catch." They cast, therefore, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. And so when they got out upon the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it in bread. Let me stop there for a second. I already found a... Why does he say, make a point of saying a charcoal fire? Let me share a little story with you. We were very blessed in our family. We got to go camping. Every year we went up to Lake Shasta. It was a wonderful time. And my dad, I don't know, every morning got up and cooked us pancakes. But he cooked them on a fire. I mean, we had a camp stove. We had a griddle on the camp stove. But he got up and he cooked pancakes on a fire. Now, you can't cook over flame. But he sat there, and I'd watch him. I was only about 10, 12 years old. And he'd sit there, and he'd splinter up all this wood into fine little pieces. And he'd build this almost like a pyramid of wood. And he'd sit there and baby this fire for a good hour. And it would burn down into a bed of coals. And I thought, the Lord took the time just to build a charcoal fire. I mean, you know, you kind of think, well, couldn't he just kind of, you know? But he took time to sit there while his disciples were out there and built this fire and prepared this meal for the disciples. He already had enough there for him to eat, but he said, when they came in, he says, "Bring what you caught too." And he sat there and had a meal with his disciples. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." What a wonderful thing. I mean, this is the heart of our Lord, was loving his disciples in a way just to have a meal. For, I mean, think of these guys are out on a boat through the middle of the night, catching nothing. Fishing is not an easy thing to do, hauling nets in and out and stuff. It's a lot of muscle. Probably pretty cold out there and damp. And to come in and have somebody with a fire ready, with food on it for you in the morning. Come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now we have another conversation with Peter. Peter, after they finished breakfast, "Do you love me?" more than these? And we've looked at these verses before, and we understand that the Lord is asking, do you agape me? And the conversation went something like this. Peter, are you in love with me? Now, I think Peter had been burned enough. He wasn't going to do any more than what he could actually say. He says, Lord, you know I'm your friend. And the Lord said, tend my lambs. And the Lord said to him again a second time, Peter, are you in love with me? And Peter's not willing to go any further because he's been burned a couple times already. Lord, you know I'm your friend. Shepherd my sheep. And the Lord a third time says, Peter, only this time he says, are you my friend? And Peter says, you know I'm your friend. I can say that much. And he says, okay. Tend my lambs. Okay. Now, unfortunately, many of the church has made Peter out to be something other than who he was and who he is. And that's a brother in Christ. I mean, we know what the Roman church has done with him. And that's not why Peter and the Lord are having this conversation. And that's not on the basis of why the Lord is asking him to tend his sheep. It's because it's who we are all called to be. We are all called to be people that tend his sheep. A verse that's been on my heart this week, that just, actually as I was praying for somebody, was, let's see if I can find it here. Short little verse out of Song of Solomon. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. We have such a small understanding of the Lord's love for his church, for each and every lamb. The love that would leave the 99 behind and go and search for the one to bring him back. He brings him back on his shoulders. His desire is for each one of us. And it's because of that desire he has towards each one of us that he calls us to tend to each other, to shepherd each other, to care for one another like he does. In Matthew, Matthew 24, the Lord says, the king will come and say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, you clothed me. Sick, you visited me. In prison, and you came to me. And the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when we see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger or invite you in, naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to who? Strangers? No. My brothers. Even the least of them, you did it to me. We're called to experience Christ primarily with one another. As iron sharpens iron. Jesus constantly was demonstrating that he was a servant. And that's our calling, brothers and sisters, to serve one another. Always in remembering that each one of us is an object of the love of Christ. To behold each other that way. To serve each other that way. How did he say others would know who we are? By our love for one another. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner at the Sermies. Couldn't believe all them. I mean, the meat platter had to be almost a foot high. And most of Greg and Kathy's kids and Ernie and Sherry and a couple that didn't know the Lord that Kathy works with, one of the gal that Kathy works with. And I don't think much was said to them about the Lord, but so much was demonstrated. They went away affected because of the love of Christ they found in our relatedness to one another. And that affects others more than anything else, is what they see in the church. And one of the greatest purposes for the church to be on this earth is to demonstrate his love. And that's what he wants us to do. That's what we're called to be. Do not forsake the assembling together, as is the habit of too many. Because in our getting together, we demonstrate to the world around us, in times and in ways we do not know, the power of a resurrected life. So we have lots of time for potluck now. Thank you for bearing with me, Lord, and brothers and sisters. He is so good, and we are blessed to have one another to encourage, to correct, to direct, to pray for one another, to build up one another, and to encourage one another. So, Lord, we thank you for your love is for us, and we ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord, to know what it is, to assemble together in ways that encourages one another, that builds up one another, and that exemplifies you to a lost, hungry, and needy world, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.